Well, good morning, everybody. I was sitting there thinking about times past and things I've been through and through life and situations that I faced. And I remembered I used to work for BOC Gases, and we handled hazardous materials a lot of times. And so they'd give us a class at least every 60 days. We had to go to a class, and it was usually a 4-hour, 5-hour, 6-hour class, you know. And I remember we'd have to all meet up, and we'd go to this class. And they had two instructors. And I remember one instructor, you know, you'd go in, and you're set for a 4-hour class. And he'd start, and he'd go through what you needed to know and what you needed to learn. You know, always go through it. And then if there was 30, 45 minutes left, he'd just fiddle around and kill time and keep you there the 4 hours. Y'all ever had an instructor like that? Have you? You know, you're done in 3 hours, and then he's going to kill an hour because he's looking at his watch. He thinks if you got to be there 4 hours, you know, that's what he's going to keep you there. And then we had another instructor that was really good. He'd come in, and I'm telling you, he had a way about teaching that could make you understand, and you'd know what you're supposed to know. And he'd go through this thing, and a lot of times, in about 2.5, 3 hours, he'd be finished, and he'd let you get out early. Guess which instructor I liked? Can anybody guess? Huh? You got that right. I'm telling you what, everybody wanted to sign up for his class. I thought about that this morning. We've got a bunch of folks on vacation. We got people here and there in Old Festival, but we got a good crowd here. But I thought about this morning, this is going to be short and sweet. I'm going to be like that instructor. I'm going to get you out early. Amen. And that way, I think y'all might choose me back. Let me come back next week, you know. I want to share some scripture with you. It's going to be short and sweet. I don't care how long it takes. It's good to be in a good mood, isn't it? I tell you what, Christians ought to be in a good mood. You know, we got hardships and troubles and trials all around us, things going on. But when you look at the overall picture, guess what? I'm on my way to heaven. This is just another day in the way that I've got to make and I've got to go through to get where I'm headed for. And so I want to talk some about Promised Land. I want to talk a little bit about the children of Israel this morning. If you'll turn in your Bibles with me, Numbers chapter 21, we picked this up. You know, God had delivered them from Egypt. And I think about that a lot. A lot of these folks were born down there in slavery, and they didn't know what it was to be free. But all of a sudden, God came in and said, I'm going to set you free. I'm going to give you a freedom like you've never experienced before. You're going to travel through a wilderness to a promised land. And I think about the life that we have this day and time. Numbers chapter 21. Y'all be turning there. And I think about this day that we have in this lifetime and the promise we have of our promised land, which is heaven, and how we spend day by day by day. And all it is a process of getting through this time to get to the one that God planned for us. And so when we start dealing with the children of Israel, kind of the same way, a lot of them slave children, you know, they're born slaves, never knew, but God set them free. He said, you're going to go through the wilderness, you're going to go to a promised land, and you're going to have a good life. And I think about that this day and time, about as we travel in our situation, I guess we're in the wilderness. You know, we're just making day at a time, headed for what God has promised. And so God has a plan for us. And I thought I even related this and got thinking about the freedom we had when Jesus came and died on the cross of Calvary. And he said, if I set you free, you're free indeed. And so a lot of people that had never experienced the freedom from sin also were set free that day, and to this very day and time are still set free. So as we consider this scripture today, when we look to God's word for instruction, I want everybody to have an understanding that God loves us and he gives us this word to instruct us through another day. This is just another day on the way to Promised Land. I got better and it's coming. I had a conversation with a guy the other day, and he's talking about how bad the world was, and I said, I'm glad I'm not part of that. I'm exempted. I withdrew from the world because this is not my world. Mine's still to come. And, you know, so a lot of people can't understand when I tell them that, but I'm going to tell you, I got promise of better than this. Numbers chapter 21, look at verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of much people was discouraged because of the way. Now notice that because of the way is what had them discouraged. It was hard. It was tough. You know, everything wasn't perfect. I'm sure, you know, they're getting up every day and they're moving toward the promised land, but they're still back in the wilderness, and it's a hard time. It's a struggle for a lot of people. And I can relate that to this day and time where a lot of us have to struggle day by day because it's not ever easy. I'm telling you, life's not perfect and life's not easy, but this is what God blessed us with, and this is what God gave us. So when they became discouraged, and I want to give a warning here, being discouraged is okay, but don't murmur against God. Because now that begins to bring problems. Don't say, well, God, you shouldn't have done this and you shouldn't have done that. God knows what's right. God knows what's good for our life. Regardless of how hard it seems this day and time, God will get you through it. And so he didn't promise them an easy walk. You know, when they left Egypt, God didn't say, I'm going to make all this easy for you. You're not going to have any problems. There's not going to be any sore feet. There's not going to be any cold nights. There's not going to be any rainy days. God didn't give those promises. He said, I'm going to get you through it, whatever it might be. He said, yeah, you're going to have to get up. You're going to walk every day because you're headed toward the promised land. And so we get an indication that God today still helps us through each and every situation. I don't care what position, situation you're in today, God can help you if only you'll let him. God's got a plan for us. I'm glad, aren't y'all? I'm glad God's got a plan. In verse 5, and the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this white bread. And so we see the discussion going on and the people murmuring against God and against Moses. Now, they'd have probably got by murmuring against Moses. You know, he's a man just like we're men and women, and they could have got by. But when they begin to be discouraged and they begin to murmur about God, they begin to complain about what God had gave them. You know, they were eating manna every day. Every day, God was feeding this troop with manna, and they began to loathe this light bread. In other words, they weren't pleased with what God had gave them. They wanted it their way and not God's way. But God had a plan for them. And God's got a plan for us. So when they begin to murmur about God, God will take retribution. If you want to complain about God and about what he's done in your life and be a whiner all the time, you're liable to face more problems than that. God's in control. In verse 6, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Have y'all ever thought about being snake bit? It's not pleasant. Been there, done that. The last copperhead I caught bit me right here. Right there. Just hung one fang in me. And the bad part was, it wasn't but 10. I was scared to tell my parents because I knew they'd tear me up for handling snakes, you know. That was not allowed at my house. You didn't catch poisonous snakes. You'd catch others. Better rules, just leave them alone. Y'all know my opinion on snakes. I guess I've told you this before. All snakes I consider church business and let the deacons handle. Very simple, right? What do deacons do? They handle church business. Consider them church business, let the deacons handle. Tommy and Luther. Mark. Well, I mean, you know, I thought it was a pretty good rule myself. It's good to be in God's house and feel good, isn't it? Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord and come in and be able to smile and just thank God for what, you know, he's done in your life? And I'm looking at these people and they're among these fiery serpents among them and they're biting people and people are dying. You know, and so they've got a situation at hand. Don't murmur against God. I'm going to tell you, don't murmur against God. You may not like what you got, but if it's what God gave you, be satisfied with it and just continue on. Just keep moving to the promised land. And so all these people, they've been bit and they've died. And I can imagine the turmoil going on in the camp. You know, there are millions of these people. And when they all started dying, I guess it'd make you afraid of these fiery serpents. It brought a fear. And in verse 7, therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned." Now, when I think about the confession they made, that, you know, there wasn't any doubts about it. They came down and said, "We have sinned," because they know or knew that murmuring against Moses, murmuring against God, was a sin because their heart wasn't in the right place. They come down to Moses and they make a confession and said, "We've sinned." And so when people make a confession about their sin in their lives, the worst thing we can do is convince ourselves that we hadn't sinned. You know, now the Bible says it's wrong, but everybody else does it. You ever been there? I've heard that one. Well, I know what God's Word said, but everybody else does that. I don't see that it's a problem. Well, I'm going to tell you, if God says it's wrong, it's wrong. God didn't make a mistake. And so these people come down. What do? They make a confession. And then and say, it said, "For we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray thee unto the Lord that he'll take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And you know, I think about this a lot of time. You know, Moses is the one they were murmuring against. But when they needed somebody, the murmuring stopped. They come down, confess their sin, and ask Moses to pray for them. Ask Moses to pray for them. Well, I've been through these situations in life. You know, a lot of people got no use for a pastor or a preacher until they get in trouble. I say that a lot. And there have been a lot of times I'd love to tell them, "No, I ain't doing it. Where was you last week? Where was you last month when your in-law died and you want me to do the funeral for you? Where was y'all last year?" You know, but I don't do that. You know why I don't? Because Moses didn't. He was a great leader. I think we ought to receive instructions from God's Word. And he didn't. He didn't say, "Well, y'all were murmuring against me last week. Now you're down here wanting me to pray for you." He didn't even say, "I told you so." You think about that. You think about the love that he had in his heart for these people. That although they'd mistreated him, although he had been wrong, he didn't hold them at fault. They came down, confessed their sins, got Moses to pray, and they asked that the serpents be taken from them. And Moses prayed for the people. Guess what? Serpents didn't go away. Y'all ever thought about this? Somebody said, "Well, Moses didn't get his prayer answered." Yeah, he got it answered. But he got it answered in the way God wanted to answer it. God didn't take the serpents out. He didn't take the snakes out from among them. But he made a way to survive it. And I thought about our day and time. You know, God hadn't took the sin out of this world. It's still here. It's still all around. But he's made a way for us to overcome it. And that's through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When Moses prayed, and the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." So the serpents are still there. They're still biting people. You know, God didn't shield them from the bite. God didn't shield them from the serpent. He don't shield us from the sin. It still happens all the time where we come in contact with it. Sometimes it affects the way we think. Sometimes it affects the way we act. So here's the prayer that the people wanted. Said, "Take it out. Take it away from them." God said, "No, I'm going to leave the serpents, but if you're bit, if you'll do what I ask you to do, you will survive." Now, before that, if they were bit, they died. I mean, it was, I think, 100% ratio. You're bit by a fiery serpent. You're dying. You're dead. You might as well count your life over. And so they had a situation. And verse 9, "And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." Just as simple as walking by the pole, looking up to the brass serpent, and you would live. There would be life instead of death. Now that's the power of God evident in that day and time, and that power of God's still evident in this day and time. I'm telling you, Jesus hung on the cross, and if you'll look to Jesus, you'll live. Now you might get bit by sin, but if you'll look to Jesus, you can live and have life. But I thought a lot of those folks probably walked by and said, I don't believe that'll work. You know, a lot of them with their head probably down toward the ground looking for snakes. You know, they try not to get bit, but when they got bit, when it happened, I think a lot of them would never look up because they didn't have confidence in what God could do according to His Word. That's why a lot of people are not saved today, because they don't believe what God did was sufficient on the cross of Calvary to cover their sin. I'm going to tell you, that's all you need. Look to Jesus and you can live. There's life in Jesus and through the power of God. Can you imagine these folks walking around there and said, well, I'm bit, but I'm not going to look because I don't think it'll work. It's just too simple. It's just too easy. How could God save my life from the bite of a fiery serpent just by looking at a brazen serpent on a pole? Y'all know anybody that way? That think it's just too easy. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. It saddens me to think about that day and time that I'm sure some of those people went ahead and died instead of looking up. I'm going to pray today that if you're bit by sin, that you'll look up to Jesus. That's where it's all at. It's all about Jesus. It's not about church. It's not about community. It's not about family. It's not about friends. It's about Jesus. And Jesus only. That's where it's at, folks. It's all in Christ. All in Jesus. And if you're bit, you're sentenced to death. But by God's work of Jesus dying on the cross of Calvary, you can live today. You can have eternal life. Y'all stand. We're going to be dismissed. Y'all going to like me now. You might even want to come back to this class. Mm-hmm.